Well, hey, Power Agents. This is Daryl Davis. Welcome to another monthly interview. We got somebody I'm very excited that we have on the call, and she's going to just tell you, hear her story and stuff. She's got some great stuff to share. So, Ilana, how do you say your last name? Is there? I want to say like it's French.
It's Roche.
Roche. Oh, Roche. Okay. Yep. I was going to say Roger. So, Ilana, before we get started, let's give everybody your contact information, the company that you're from, email, cell, all that good stuff. So rock and roll, go.
Okay. So I am out of Sparta, New Jersey, and it's Weikert Realtors. Mm-hmm. My cell number is 914-844-9713, and I can also be reached by email, which is the letter E, and then Roche, R-O-C-H-E, at Weikert.com. And then, obviously, you can go to my website, which is buywithlana.com, and it's L-A-N-A.
L-A-N-A.com,
yep.
Yeah, but you say Ilana or Lana?
Well, the website is Lana, L-A-N-A, because most people call me Lana, but my official real first name is E-L-A-N-A.
Okay, great. So, Ilana, I'm very excited because in getting you, and I really appreciate you doing this. I know how busy you are, you know, just so people understand, you know, your credibility here. You know, you've only been in real estate for a year and a half, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I started in 2015.
August 2015. And last year you did how many transactions?
I think it was close to 30 transactions. And I think it was somewhere around $5.3 million, I think it was, total bond.
Which for somebody in their first year, going into their second year, that's just phenomenal. So let me ask you, what did you do before real estate? Why did you get into real estate?
Well, basically, I would always help my husband with his companies. He had manufacturing companies, and I would take care of the office part of it. So I already had, you know, we've been on to the north since we got married 26 years ago, so I kind of already had that aspect covered, pretty much can handle an office and that aspect.
Okay.
And then I don't know. I had always thought I would be good at real estate, but never actually even bothered to get my license until August of 2015.
Yeah. And so why did you, were you looking for something to do? Were you looking for additional income for the house? Were you just?
For that moment I was, one of his companies had closed. So there was like a little bit of a lull there.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be the perfect time. So that's exactly what I did.
Okay, very good. So what do you love about the business? What do you hate about the business?
Oh, boy. What I love about the business, to be perfectly honest with you, is that I am able to help people in one of the most stressful parts of their life to actually get them in transition to that next phase of their life, but try and make it as easy as possible so it actually is a smooth and nice transaction as opposed to a nightmare, which you hear a lot about. So
right. Yeah.
What I don't like.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I don't know. What I don't like, I guess I don't like how other agents don't do their job. So that would end up falling on me too. You know, in order to actually get the transaction complete. So that can be annoying.
Yeah, that can be. Okay. You know, it's interesting. I interviewed somebody last month, and they said the same thing, that what they love, and also a new agent first year did millions of dollars in business, and they said the same thing, is that the part that they love is really helping people get from point A to point B in their life, you know, that it's really much, you know, this business, when you think about it, it's really more than just putting deals together or selling houses or showing property.
Oh, yeah.
It's really life-changing for people. And, I think when people recognize that, they appreciate and enjoy the business more. So, all right, well, great. Now, let's see. What's your focus? Like, is it listings? Is it buyers? Where would you say the majority of your money's coming from?
I would say, it's definitely in the high, like in the 80s percentile for listings. I don't particularly like working with buyers unless it's like, for instance, I just sold my listing, went under contract last night, and he needs he's moving into a condo in the same area, so clearly he's going to be, you know, he's going to have a buyer. But I really don't, unless they are 911 buying, they're relocating, whatever the case is that I work with. I literally can't do it. Like, I can't do it. So it's mostly listings, to be honest. But I learned that from you, actually. thank God it was, you know, a tenant change at the time where I didn't have to do it for years taking on buyers. I never did it, so.
Now, you came to me, how long were you already licensed when you came to me?
I was probably licensed not quite a year. I would say 6 months-ish, and I came to your a seminar you had in Jersey. I think it was Morristown, I think it was.
The three-hour seminar, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And I had got the CD, which I just listened to over and over and over. I mean, it takes me a little while sometimes, but, like, I, you know, it was just nice to be able to always have you with me, you know, before an appointment or, you know, whatever it was about. But those are definitely priceless CDs. Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you. I'm glad. Well, I'm glad it's helping you, obviously. So now, so 80% of your business is coming from the listings. Right now, how many listings do you have?
I probably have about 11.
Okay, which is awesome. Now, where are you getting these listings from? How are you getting those appointments?
Okay, so here's the other, get back up for 2 seconds. I just went to your seminar again. And did the three-hour seminar. And, of course, you always hear or learn something new. That's why I would always go. And at that particular seminar, you had put up a slide which is how, you know, how do you get your business and talking about inventory. And I realized when you were talking about it that I was starting to go on the website again, you know, like trying to do mailings and, like, all the stuff that aren't bad, but they clearly don't make you the money the quickest. And
right.
I was getting so sucked in at that time that it was almost magical that I was there, because where I have been always getting them is Expired and FSBO. But I had kind of deviated from that a little bit and stopped calling for about almost, you know, I would say in a month or two span, like not as much as I was. And I noticed that when I went there, that's exactly what I was doing. It was not, you know, not sticking to the plan, which was working. So thank God I went there that day. So thank you for that again.
You're so welcome.
But so that's really what I been focusing on.
Well, so that's fortuitous that you came and got that refreshing.
Thank God.
You know, just for people that are listening, because if they haven't attended the seminar in a while or they haven't seen me, you know, there's the now business and the future business, and that future business is where you're planting the seeds, like farming, mailing out postcards. And you know, the problem with that, which is good for a top agent who has, but a top agent has something that the average agent doesn't have, and that's money and time. You know, doing that kind of stuff, it takes time to generate business. It spends a lot of money. You know, it's all that branding and marketing stuff, which is good, but that costs thousands and thousands of dollars to brand yourself. And somebody should be spending that money if they don't have to or if they don't have it. FSBO's an expired. That's now business.
It's
instant. It costs no money. I mean, it's just, I mean, I know some agents.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, even I know some top agents, you know, that could afford spending tons of money on advertising, stuff like that. But it's so much quicker and easier just picking up the phone and calling the FSBO's and expires. They still do it to this day. So I'm really glad that you're doing that. And so when you're calling the FSBO, how often are they expired? Now, between those two, is there one that you like more than the other? Is there one that you do more than the other?
I'm noticing now, you know, being just more noticing what I'm doing, is the old expired seems to be really hot, because those are the people that didn't sell, it's still not on, but they clearly once had a dream of doing something. So those, for me, seem to be a little bit better right now, because some of the, you know, newer expireds could still be kind of, you know, pissed.
Some of the expired. By the way, Alana, there's sometimes that you kind of zone out the I lose the voice a little bit on
oh,
your
okay.
phone. So I don't know if you're pacing and talking at the same time, which I sometimes do, that you might be hitting a dead spot. So you were saying you like the old FSBOs better because why?
The old expireds better.
Oh.
Because, yeah, they seem to be, like, if they're not relisted, they at one point must have had a dream of doing something. So those seem to be a lot easier for me to list right now, you know, depending on the situation, because the newer expireds are still, you know, not that you can't do those, but I feel like those are not going to be as easy as the older expireds. So that was something I kind of just picked up recently. And FSBOs are always tough. I mean, they're just a different breed. So
yes.
Not that I don't do them. I just closed on a big one that was a FSBO, but he needed to be almost farmed by text, if that makes sense, for like 6 months. You know, I would just check in. And when I finally got in the house, he was like, the only reason I called you in, well, besides obviously he couldn't sell it himself, was that I kept in touch and I was aggressive but not, like, overwhelming. So, but, you know, and that line, you never know where that is because everybody's different, you know, how they perceive it. So that worked out and closed, so that was a nice sale. And I just got a contract on another one that I had called that was a FSBO. Yeah, so that's another one that's closing next month. So it's not that they can't be done. They're just, to me, they're a tougher,
they
tougher
are.
Avenue to go down. But, so.
Now, you just made me think of something. I've never said this before, and this might be a teaching moment here. You know, if you had a copy of that FSBO ad, the guy that tried it for 6 months, and if you had some screenshots of some text, and you had the price that he was asking as a FSBO, and then the price that it closed at, I mean, that might be really good to share sometimes, maybe, on a listing appointment, saying, here's a homeowner that didn't just try being a FSBO, they were committed to being a FSBO. And they were so committed, it went 6 months and finally gave up, then listed with me. And maybe show that if they had listed with you from the get-go, they probably would have saved a lot of mortgage payments, a lot of time. They would have netted more money in their pocket, perhaps, if they didn't wait so long. So that might be a listing technique.
Marketing
now,
yep.
yes. All right. So now these old expireds. You're not the. This is the second time that this has come up for me where I've talked to somebody and they told me about the old expireds, and they were telling me how great that is. So now. Tell me how far back you go and how do you start that conversation when you call them?
Well, I'm using Venix, obviously.
Good.
And I am going all the way back. Like, I'll just go back on the screen, you know, depending. Sometimes I do it by town or what I'm in the mood for, you know. I just kind of, you know, manipulate it that way. And then basically I just call, like I call everything else and just wing it. You know, I do have, like, your, you know, like a lot of the dialogues. But a lot of times I'm just like, you know, just real with them and just say, I'm just so curious why this didn't sell, you know, and then get into, you know, that I can see how beautiful the house is, which most of the time is true because sometimes I cherry pick them.
Yeah.
You know, if I want, depending, which, you know, again, I'm learning more about that because I do need the not just the higher price listings, I do need the other ones for quicker income.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned that the hard way because I was doing all the ones that are supposedly high priced here, which is not high priced in another county. But so I just, you know, I'm kind of still navigating through all of that since I'm kind of new. But yeah.
So you basically, how far back do you go on the expired?
God, I'm not even looking. I'm just going so far back. Like, if they're expired and they're, you know, and I copied the MLS number, put it right into your MLS, and if it's not active, I call it. You know what I mean? So I'll probably go back. I mean, it's probably up to at least a year, I think they go back.
Yeah.
I go back pretty far. Yeah, because I just feel like they've been untouched and forgotten about, and it's a possibility if they still want to move, you know?
Wow, that's really awesome. That's like, so that's, that's awesome probably for two reasons. Number one is that that opens up so many more leads, number one. Number two is, yeah, they're probably forgotten, so you've got nobody else calling them, so they're not getting bombarded.
Right.
Now, I'm curious, so when you call them up, how do you, I mean, so let's say I'm an expired, and I would think that most of the time when you call them, they're not, they weren't just talking about selling that night. Oh, and here, Alana just called us. I mean, are they like, yeah, we tried it? And like, do you have to
It just opens up the dialogue. Yeah, it just opens up that dialogue, and then I try and, you know, honestly figure out, you know, first of all, if they're still motivated, you know what I mean, at that point to see, and then what was the motivation? So that I can kind of not play on that, you know, it's, I don't want to use the wrong words because I'm really genuinely trying to help them if that's
right. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe the word would be you're trying to revive their enthusiasm, right? I mean, because when you think of, when you think about it, I mean, there's like, there's commitment, and then the opposite of commitment might be resignation. You know, it's like, all right, they were committed to their next level, committed to making this move somewhere, their next level in their life. It didn't turn out the way they wanted to, so they give up, and then now they're resigned to it is what it is. It's not going to change.
Right. Still
and so really your job is to, maybe there is some possibility here, and get them out of that attitude of resignation. And all right, very cool. Wow. So what is now, how often do you prospect? Do you pick certain days, certain times?
So now I'm back to at least 3 days a week.
Good.
I would love to almost do it every day, but I feel like three is when I should do it, like for at least 2 or 3 hours, but it varies. Like I find that sometimes at night it's better after I've done a whole day's work, and then I could, believe it or not, that could be more relaxing. As weird as that sounds, but at least it's just, you know, just making the calls and kind of making those connections. So I would say at least three, at least three times a week.
And is there, do you do it in the morning, in the evening? Is there a time?
It tends, I'll do it at any time because obviously you can always reach someone, but seems like evenings and Saturdays are the best.
Okay, evenings and Saturdays. Now, here's an interesting question. So when you call, let's say in the evening, and you're dialing for dollars, and then you get a hold of somebody, do you set up the appointment to go that night, or do you set it up for the next day or the day after?
More than likely, it's never at that moment. You know what I mean? More than likely, it's not right at that same day. But it could be like just last weekend, I did one. Who was that one? I went, so that I called on a Saturday, and I went out on a Sunday. You know, and then I just have to, unfortunately, on someone like that, I got to prepare most of it myself because we have a marketing person that does all, you know, can does our doors presentation and does all that stuff. And if she, obviously she's not going to be here on Saturday. So, like, that one I'd have to prepare myself as much as possible, and I'd have to sell myself more than, you know, just in general, make the connection, more, you know, moreover. So that, that can happen, though, but usually it's, like, the next day.
So for people that don't know, that isn't part of the wider family, the you call your listing conversation / presentation, you call the doors presentation. And so that's what, when you said that. Now, are you using that big portfolio? So again, people that are listening at this company, Weicker, they have the agents actually walk in with, it's bigger than a briefcase. It's
like a small table.
Yes, it's like a something that you would see an architect carry architecture plans in. And so it's really big, and it has a handle, and it opens up. All right.
Yeah.
So opens up like a door. It's almost as big as a door, actually.
Exactly, a small door. Yep.
Now, when you do your listing appointment, what do you feel is the transition? Like, how do you get them from, we don't want to work with a realtor, so I guess this would be more on the FSBO side. you know, we don't want to work with an agent and all of a sudden shifting into, all right, let's hire you. What do you feel is what really works on an employer for you?
Number one is the connection. I have to make sure I have a connection with someone most of the time. I mean, there are times when someone, they just can't connect most of, you know, if that's the case. But most of the time I like to make that connection first, make sure that we like each other or at least get a sense that we like each other. And then I would go, you know, into both, into the company, you know, the marketing power that we have, which is clear on the charts that we have. Like, we're just powerful here. And then what I can do for them. You know what I mean? Mm. Just in general, myself as an agent or how I, you know, what I do. So,
is there something that you love to talk, like, that you're passionate about when you're on the appointment, whether it's something that the company has or something that you do, something that you think really makes a difference for a seller?
Yeah, well, the Weichert has the Weichert Lead Network, which is like, I don't want to say 24 hours a day, but basically when the buyers call, they get an agent. Like, it's never a voicemail, ever, which is, it's like no one else does that, really. So, you know, I could get a call at 9 o'clock at night, and I'm going to, but we're also getting everyone else's leads. So, you know, that's the power of Weichert and their marketing, is they pay a lot of money each year to capture those leads on Zillow and, you know, all the other places. So we're going to get a call even if it's not on our listings. So that's really huge. I mean, that's huge for a lot of sellers because, you know, the chances of us bringing a buyer are going to be a lot higher than anybody else.
Okay. Which actually would bring me to the next question, kind of off that, is what other technology do you think is important, not just for the seller, but even for yourself? Like, you already said Red-X, which is, you know, awesome. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you think is really important that helps you?
For prospecting, that's like number one. I know there's something now with Red-X and the Mojo, and I know that Red-X has something. So I'm kind of looking into that where you
dial
more people.
Storm Dialer.
Storm Dialer, right. So that's something actually I'm just touching on, so I can't really comment too much on that because I've only done like that Mojo thing once and I was terrified, but did it and it was fine. So it's not, I think that's one avenue, but one other thing I do, like when I'm selling myself at the listing appointment, is I bought a drone, and the drone pictures really seem to be working like amazingly. Like, it's just bringing a lot more buyers because a picture tells 1,000 words. Even on an existing listing, when I wasn't selling, it was also a little bit overpriced, but when I finally did the drone, you know, we got a contract in like a week. So I'm guessing, it has something to do with it. If you have property and you're not, you know, not in a place where houses are on top of each other, because then I don't know how good it would work. But in my market, it's definitely worth it.
So the drones, is it just taking photos or is it taking a video?
Video. It can do video. It can. Right now, I just did photos because I'm learning, but. It can do videos, and it can fly inside, too. So I haven't gotten that far. but that's just another avenue, which it seems to be big around here, is the virtual tours. So that's another avenue I'm going to have to
look into. All right. So you got virtual tours you're going to look into, but you're using the drones, taking photos. Is there anything else that you're, from a technology standpoint, Red-X you're doing, and...
Yeah, from a technology point of view. Well, I mean, I send out, like, you know, Weichert has to just sold just listed cards. And then you can expand on that because they only give you a certain amount. And then, you know, usually I hit some of the same areas, so I'm almost forming those. But I call those, too. I direct call if I sold something, or there's a couple of neighborhoods I seem to be pretty becoming dominant in. So I call, like, each one of those houses in, like, a development just so that I can say, you know, start that conversation, because they see my signs anyway in there. So it just kind of brings it all together. And then if they know someone that's selling or if they're thinking of selling. And I've started to do that more recently in the last couple of months. And I already have, like, those are going to be, I almost look at that as, like, farming, because, like, one of them that I did get a hold of in the neighborhood that I like, I'm going in March just to go over some stuff with them. They're not selling this year, but it just kind of builds that relationship. So when they are ready, they'll call me is what I'm thinking anyway.
Yeah, no, that's awesome that you're doing it. Even though it is farming, you're not spending money because you're just hitting the phone. So you make the calls to the neighbors when you sell something or list something or?
Both.
Both, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, doesn't matter.
Okay, so you have 11 listings now, and let me see. I'm reading a question here. What is the best way to answer this? Okay, no, that's fine. All right, so you have 11 listings right now. Last year, though, how many listings did you get total, would you say?
Total listings. Well, I have them in front of me, so let's see. For the whole year?
Well, all right, you know what? Let's do it this way.
It's kind of hard
yourself.
To do it this
yeah,
way.
Yeah, don't knock yourself out. The fact that you have 11 listings, I guess here's my question. How are you servicing your sellers? So you've got 11 right now. That's a lot. And I'm assuming that, you know, last year at one point you've had, you know, a good number of listings at any given time. So how are you taking care of all that? That's a lot of work, you know, in doing the open houses. And so I guess there's two questions. Number one is, give me an example of some of the marketing that you do on your listing. Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, you know, how are you taking care of the sellers, servicing, letting them know how hard you're working?
Right. Well, I mean, we do, like I said, we do the just listed cards.
Okay.
We have a beautiful brochure. When you get the listing, it goes on Caravan, where 30 or 40 of us are religiously every Tuesday go through these houses.
Right.
A lot of people don't do. And then on that same week, that Thursday, you would do a broker's open where you invite all the brokers in, you know, to see the house. And then you usually do an open house, or depending on how long it's on the market, you could do a couple open houses if it's a good spot.
Okay. All right, so there's some of the marketing that you do. I think that's great. The broker's open house, how many people do you usually get?
I would say anywhere, depending, probably from like 5 to 7 people to could be up to 20 people.
Mm, okay.
Depending on what, you know, if it's a little diamond, you know, a lot of people will come.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
And so going back to that second question, servicing, like, is there a way that you stay in touch with your homeowners, or they just call you when they need to talk to you, or are you more proactive?
I feel like I'm a little disorganized with that up until I went to the seminar and the letters that you said about sending.
Yeah.
Is priceless, I think, because it just, you know, it's just the way you explained it, too, how it's like they can't say you never did anything if you're constantly keeping in touch with them, which I do, like, by text, by email and call. But, like, it's not just, for whatever reason, it's something mental that, it, you know, if you get something in the mail, it's like they're doing something above and beyond, in my opinion. I thought that was brilliant. So that's something, like, literally I wanted, because I just got these two listings, so I figured I would implement and see if it would work. Yeah.
All right, good. And, you know, the other thing that you can do that I didn't talk about in the seminar, but it's even an easier, at least it's something, and that is pick one day a week, 1 hour that's committed to calling your seller. So every week at this time, you call them all, give them an update, you know, just want to tell you what's been going on, what happened last week, what we're doing this week.
Right.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's so simple, and you almost pray for you get their voicemail, because you can then you don't have to make it a long conversation, but still leave a report on the voicemail, and that might be simpler for you too. All right, good. Wow, this is boy, you're blowing my mind. You're sharing so many great stuff. And so the buyers you don't work with too much because you're focusing on building listing, which is great. I'm happy to hear that. But the buyers that you work with are the ones that, you know, that you've sold their house.
Yeah, like they're buying now. I mean, not just my sellers, but like I know that they're buying now, or they're very motivated to buy as soon as they, you know, it's kind of, it's just more in the near future. I just, you know, I can't, for whatever reason, I just don't have the capacity to deal with, you know, staying with someone for a year or two. Not that they're not going to buy, you know, I get that part, but I just, I'm not willing to put in those hours.
Right, right, right. Well, and it's, you know, it's just a lot easier now, you know, to have those listings and still have a life. So how many hours a week are you putting in?
Well, right now I feel like I am putting in a lot. I probably put in anywhere from 10 to 12 hours a day.
Wow.
So, yeah, but I'm, again, I feel like, without making excuses, I feel like it's, I'm still learning. So things take me a little bit longer. I don't have all my systems in place. And I'm still creating those. So I feel like that's an extra time. And I can do that because my kids are older. So it's not like I'm, you know, away from the family and it's a problem kind of thing.
Right, right. Well, actually, that makes me think of something else. Are you using any kind of contact management CRM where you're keeping track of your leads and your clients and that kind of stuff?
I'm in the midst of it. Leiker does offer something called Leiker Pro, and it does have that. It is a management system where you can put everything in, and you can market from there, and you can put it in categories. It's basically the same thing.
Okay.
For whatever reason, I never implemented it from the beginning. Like here and there, I would like open house stuff. I put people in there, so I feel like it's not completely organized the way I like it, and I'm not even sure I love this system. So I'm kind of in the middle of figuring out what I want to do.
Gotcha.
But I know that's important, so I'm working on it.
You know, one of the great questions, things to do is ask some of the, maybe some other agents that you know, even out of your office, out of Weikert, and ask what they're using. And the one we always recommended was Top Producer. And but there are some other ones, and I'm hearing some other good things about it. So, all right, good. Well, let me think. This has just been really great because you know what? You're keeping it. It's so funny because, all right, so you're not doing a lot of self-promotion stuff. You're not working with buyers. you're working with, it's almost like, all right, there's not a lot of really to delve too deep in because you're not doing a lot of different stuff, which is probably awesome. You know, some of these interviews I'll have with people, they'll have, you know, they'll have a team or they'll have advertising and then they do this kind of promotion and they have these parties or these events. And so you can literally go on for hours talking about all of the, you know, what kind of ads are they running and what's special about it. But, you know, Ilana, what's awesome about what you're doing is that, you know, you're doing what I told you to do when you first came to the seminar, you know,
exactly.
Your first six, which is really great because it costs some money. It's quicker. You're probably netting more money than the average agent. And, you know, here you are with 11 listings and you're not taking out full page ads in newspapers or supermarkets. So that's, I'm very proud of you. This is, I'm very excited about what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm just sticking to what you said, which is just building inventory.
All
right. I just focus on that. Yeah.
Very good. Very, very, very good. And I'm glad you're using the Red X. That's, to me,
that's
the absolute best tool. Okay. Now, before I let you go, is there anything that I can help you with right now? You're not prepared for that question because I didn't tell you I was going to let you ask me that. But is there anything that that you have a question or you need help with right now that I can help you with?
Not so much that I need help with, but if you ever, like, do any of the, you know, newer CDs or update anything, I would love to know about that because clearly, you know, I have them in my car and I have them everywhere and download it wherever. You know, I listen to it all the time, but that's, I think, the one thing that anybody just starting out or even that's kind of been in it for a while, those can be life-changing if you actually listen to it and follow it.
Well, You're sweet, and I didn't. I appreciate that very much. That was really great. And yes, I will. You'll definitely be on my radar to send those to you. We're actually in the process of working on some new physical CDs and the listing appointment CDs. So we're working on editing those. So it'll be a few months. But all right, well, let's give everybody your contact information again, so they can contact if they have any questions. So what's your cell and your email?
Okay, my cell is 914-844-9713, and my email is the letter E, Roach, R-O-C-H-E, at Weichert, which is W-E-I-C-H-E-R-T.com.
All right, so you stay with me. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody, but don't hang up. So, gang, that's it.
Okay.
Ilana gave us some really great stuff, and, boy, it's real estate's not complicated. We sometimes can make it complicated, so as long as you're steady and consistent. This is just incredible what she's accomplished. So anyway, that's it for this month's call. Thanks for listening in. And, don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help people get to their next level in their life. So the money that you make is a gauge as to how many lives you've touched. So go out there, touch a lot of lives, and the money will follow. This is Daryl Davis, and don't forget to keep smiling.